Now, Father, we thank you so much for the apostolic. We thank you for your word. We thank you for our apostle and the first family. Lord, give each one of us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, tonight we're going to talk about a specific lesson that I believe is going to help us to understand the direction apostle is headed in these days, in these last days. And turn your Bible with me to Ephesians 4. We're going to be talking about the obedience of the Son. Ephesians 4. And we're going to look at verse 16. You know, every time Apostle been teaching us, he's been reading Ephesians 4:11. And because I think, I know we're heading in a certain direction that he wants us to understand what all the apostolic is all about and why it is so important for us as a body. I mean, Water Life Christian families to understand the assignment that he has right now. And it helps me to understand, so I know as a member of this body, to flow better. The more you understand, the more you can flow better. And in Ephesians 4:16, we're going to find out that it's not about us. It's all about what God wants. You know, we've been hearing it, but we need to see it. It's all about what God wants in the earth realm. And God has one way to get it in the earth realm, and that's through the principle of obedience. Now, we're gonna look at Jesus' lifestyle of obedience for a moment. But I want to read Ephesians 4:16 to let us know why we need to understand the level of obedience that Jesus walked in. Because the only way God can get something from heaven to earth is through the realm of obedience. And as a matter of fact, as we go through the lesson, we're going to find out that according to Ephesians 4:16, every member going to have to supply their part. Yes, sir. And if we're going to get the job done, if every member going to have to supply their part, then they're going to have to come through the realm of obedience, because that's the only way God from heaven to earth government can get something done through obedience. If God tried to do it some other way, it will be illegal for him. And we're going to find that out. God has to come to the realm of obedience, because it's the only way that it can connect heaven to earth. And you're going to follow me more as we go. You in Ephesians 4:16 yet? It said, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. And I noticed that statement, the whole body fitly joined together. It sounds like one, right? And compacted by that which some joints supply. Not all, but just some. No, every joint supply. See, God needs the whole body working together. The church body here and the universal body all have to be working one, because Jesus is one and his whole goal is that we be one. If you look in the scriptures, we're going to find out how many times it talks about the oneness of the body. Over and over and over again, it talks about the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And, you know, because that's the only way God can function. God didn't give Jesus a body on earth for naught. And because Jesus is not here presently, the church has become the body. He is the head. We are the body. And we are the ones that should get the work done upon the earth as we get instructions from the head. Now, it's going to get a little clearer as we go, but we got to imagine ourselves as a physical body of Christ and him being the head. And Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the different joints, the hand cannot say to the feet and so on, the different members of the body that we all have to work together corporately, and cooperate with one another to get something done. Because if the body not working together in its perfection, then the work of God is going to be halted, not stopped, but halted, because God needs the unification of the body. Now, I'm going to try to say it more than one way so we can understand what we're saying. So, that the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working of the measure of some parts. Every part. We all got a part to play. The measure of every part make it increase of the body until the edifying of itself in love. Now note that last statement, and then I'm going on to my notes. It make it increase of the body. See, the only way the body increase is through the working of the entire body doing its part. Now, turn your Bible again to Hebrews 5 and 8. This is going to be one of the central scriptures that we're going to be talking about. Hebrews 5 and 8, we're going to see that Jesus had to go through the process as a human being and not as the Son of God, not as the Son, but as the Son of Man. And for him to go through that, it has to be some, I won't say some humbleness. Now, what am I talking about? Now, we're talking about the Son, right? The Son of God. We're talking about Jesus. And when God had the plan to redeem man, and Jesus knew he had to come in and pay the price for redemption. Well, what God knew that Jesus could not come as the Son of God. He had to come as the Son of Man. And if you think about it, Jesus and God shared the same glory, the same power, the same ability, the same creative power. All things were made by him. Without him were not anything made that was made. Jesus and God was one. So now Jesus got to come to earth. He could not come as God. So he had to do some humbling here. He had to do some stripping. And he had to strip off all his glory, all his majesty, all that he is, all that God is. He had to strip it off. So what I'm trying to say, Jesus had to humble himself as a man before he could qualify to redeem us, because sin came through man. So redemption had to come through man. And so Jesus had to become as a man. So why am I saying all that? I'm saying all that because to let you know he didn't come at with all his sovereign power. Let you know that he did not come with all that God is. He had to come to a process. I'm trying to say it where we can catch it, because it's important that we get an understanding of this part here, that he came as a son, but not as a son. He came as a servant. All right, let's read the scripture. Maybe it's going to open up some more as we go. In Hebrews 5 and 8 says, though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. Now, my point is that Jesus did not bring obedience with him. We're talking about Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God. He did not bring obedience with him. He had to learn it. Everybody said learn it. He had to learn obedience. And the Bible says through the things he suffered. And if you read the scriptures in it, you'll find out Jesus went through a lot of suffering upon the earth. And that suffering was for a divine purpose, even though it was suffering for us. He had to, as a man, learn obedience so he can carry out the plan of God upon the earth. Now, Jesus' whole design, he came, if you read the Psalms, he said, I come to do thy will, O God. His whole point to come into earth was to do the will of God. And to do the will of God, you have to have a certain amount of obedience. You can't do the will of God if you don't obey. Nothing will get done if we don't obey. All right, let's move on here now. Obedience was lost in the Garden of Eden, and it had to be recovered and restored. Now, I want to look at obedience as a principle here. Yeah, a little bit more than a principle. I want you to look at obedience as an avenue. I want to look at obedience as a position. I'm trying to find the right word. I'm going to hit the right word in a little bit before we go home today. I want you to look at obedience as a throughway. I'm still trying. I'm getting closer, but I ain't hit it yet. A passageway. I'm getting better. A passageway. Look at obedience as an entrance. I got one more, a little bit closer. Look at obedience as a gateway. Yes. It's getting better, ain't it? Yes. I want to look at obedience in a way that unless obedience was secured, there would be no passage. There had to be a passage for redemption to come. You see, yes, the cross play a part. The shedding of his blood play a part. But it had to come to this passage of obedience. I want you to catch this. Obedience was lost. I'm going to show you in the scriptures. But it had to be restored. It had to be brought back. It had to be regained. It had to be reestablished. I'm trying to say it a different way. It had to be reestablished because it was lost. And once it was lost, Satan became the god of this world through another principle of disobedience. Now, I'm getting a little bit closer to it now. Now, disobedience ran from Adam until Jesus, the principle of disobedience. God tried to use a lot of men in the Bible to bring it, but he couldn't secure it. God honored David because David was a man after his own heart, and David was one of the most precious Old Testament saints for his obedience in the Old Testament. And one of the reasons why, because the Bible said that every time David did something, he acknowledged God. He sought after God for direction. Did he miss it? Yes, he missed it. Not once, not twice. He missed it a few times in his life. Because you see, David wasn't a perfect man. But God had to have a perfect obedience. I want you to catch me. And he couldn't find it to no one else. But it had to be secure for redemption to bring us to a place of salvation and reconnect us back to God from what Adam did. So let's look at this obedience of the son, and we're going to find out why it was such a precious thing to God that Jesus had to come and present himself before the Father. All right? Now, look at Romans 5 and 19. We're getting a little bit closer here. I want you to see it like I want you to see it. You see, every time I study apostle, I find out another secret to his success. You know, you can use the word success in ministry. One of the most successful ministry on the face of this earth. And one of his greatest secrets, yes, he prayed, but his greatest secret is that he tried to obey God in everything God tell him. Apostle walking in a unique realm of obedience. If you watch him, you study him over the years, you're going to see how unique his obedience is. Rare unique. I mean, he's going to obey with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind, and might, because you want to do the will of God. All right? Now, you're in Romans 5 yet? Romans 5 and 6:19 says, "For as by one man disobedience," you see that? One man disobedience, the principle that ran from Adam on to Jesus, "many were made sinners, so by obedience of one shall many be made righteous." So now God got to get this into the earth realm. He got to get the principle of obedience into the earth realm. Now, mind you, one of us, that Jesus did not bring obedience with him. And that's my point I'm trying to get. You don't born with obedience. You take a little two-year-old child, as pure as their spirits are. They didn't born with obedience. You got to teach the child obedience. I don't know why some parents don't want to correct their children. Because if you don't correct them, they're not going to learn obedience. So just let them do what they want to do. But that's not my point. My point is they didn't learn born with obedience. You have to learn it. So now we're going to find out obedience is one of God's most precious commodities. One of the most spiritual asset that God could ever give us. Obedience. But it's learned. Everybody say learned.
Learn.
You see, obedience must be learned. If Jesus himself had to learn it, where do that put me and you? So, sometimes it takes a little suffering to learn obedience. Yeah, you don't always want to obey. I'm talking about your flesh, your mind, your soul. Why? Because there's still a spirit of disobedience that roams in his earth atmosphere. And it come against everything that God wants. It come against everything that God is. And it comes against everything that God can do. This spirit of disobedience is still in the earth realm. But yet we're in the earth realm, but we can't function under that principle of disobedience. Even though it tried to control us some, even as Christians. I don't care how much we pray in tongues, that those spirits still haunts us and try to get us not to obey. Even some of the simplest things God wants us to do. Even the minute thing that God asks of us to do, we'll find an earthly reason to try to renege. We make excuses, trying to go another way and try to claim, listen to this, a false obedience. My goodness, I want you to go with me for a little bit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, everything that God has, Satan trying to duplicate it. And when he tried to duplicate it, he make it a counterfeit. So, just like love, you ever seen counterfeit love? Yeah, yeah. That's why they came up with the word true love. Because that was a false love. So let's get back to obedience. Now I find out through my studies that we talk about obedience a lot, you know. And I found out about the word submission. And I found out even though they sound the same, they're worlds apart. Obedience is on one hand, it's one thing. It's to obey, to yield. But submission, on the other hand, is another thing.
Yeah, right.
You can be obedience. Listen at me close now. You can be obedient in your action. Uh-huh. Listen to me close. Yeah. But rebellious at heart. Now, a lot of people don't know, and they don't recognize it a lot of time. Action are one thing, and it's an outward. It's an outward thing. It looks good. Look like the obedient. But there's a heart issue that we don't see. People don't see. Your asking can be right, but your heart could be wrong. You ever ask one of your children to do something? And they'll do it. But they're fussing in their heart the whole while they do it. They're grumbling and complaining. See, I grew up with a lot of sisters and brothers. And for some reason, they look like they act the same one all the time to do something. And the other one just laying there. They just laying down and let it get by. So you're doing it. Go put the trash out. You putting the trash out. Why? Well, I got to be the only one to put the trash out. But don't it look good? I got the trash bag and going to the trash can, but I'm fussing my all. I'm messed up in my heart all the time. So it looks good. You say that from the neighbor's point of view. You say that child shows obedience. Always put the trash out, but you don't know what's going on the inside of him. He's cussing and fussing and stomping his feet on the inside, but he's putting the trash out. So it can be right in action, but wrong in heart. And sometimes I said, see, that was a nice way to say that. Because sometimes we as Christians, our actions seem like they're right. But our heart attitude sometimes just ain't right. You see, it has to be submission. And I like to call it submissive obedience. That's the difference. Obedient in action and at heart. I see I'm not going to get too far, but I need to explain this. So as we go through the lesson, we will see that obedience has to be pleasing to God. Let me say it this way. Let me read my notes better. The Son of Man shares the same glory and authority with the Father. Now, listen at this point. God never requires forced obedience. Then it will not be pure and holy and cannot glorify God. You see, I'm going to read that one more time. God never requires forced obedience. then it will not be pure and holy and glorify God. Now, not to say that. Forced obedience, if I'm trying to put it with Jesus' assignment. Jesus could not please the Father if he were forced to come and die. Forced to. You cannot please the Father if you were forced to do certain things. Then it would not be pure and holy. Everything you do for God must be pure and holy with no objective. Now, let me say this. I remember when I was a little boy, and we lived close to a farm, and this man had horses and cows, and he had this particular horse that was a new horse, or however you call it, but he was trying to get the horse to take a saddle. The horse wouldn't take a saddle. What do you mean? He kept bucking the thing off. Every time they tried to throw the saddle on him, the blanket, he kept bucking it off. And so he didn't want to submit to the saddle. And so what the guy did, to my amazement, he began to load sandbags on his horse back and strapped it to the horse, weighed him down. And he made the horse go around in a circle over and over again, weighted down with I don't know how many hundred pounds of sand. And, what he was really doing was forcing this horse to take the saddle, forcing obedience, forcing him to carry, walk under the load and the burden of the sandbags. So, when he took the sandbags off, you know what the horse said? Give me the saddle. I want the saddle. I don't want to say it. So what it was? Forced obedience. Yeah, now he walking around with a saddle on, but it wasn't, he didn't really want, he was forced to take it. So my point is, God doesn't want to force his obedience on you. That's the scripture in Isaiah 119. I call it willing obedience. If you be willing in obedience, you shall eat the good of the land. Now, as we go, I want you to know that God never required forced obedience. Then, back to my point, it wouldn't be holy and pure. Now, if there's such thing as holy and pure, there's a such a thing as unholy obedience and unpure obedience. You know, Christian walking that every day is that false sense of obedience. It's a false sense. And then it doesn't look, it might look similar, but it's a counterfeit obedience. It's unholy. It may look good in man's eyes, but in God's eyes, it's unholy and it's dishonorable. I hope you catch what I'm saying.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because your obedience now is unholy. And God would not permit an unholy obedience. Now, let's move on a little bit. Now, Jesus' obedience was pure and holy before God. You know how I know? Jesus said in the scripture, remember in Matthew 3:13, he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am what?
Well
pleased." God was well pleased with Jesus because everything Jesus did was pure motive, pure and holy, and pure and holy obedience and motive does what? Glorifies God. I know we want to glorify God in everything. I do. I want to obey God the best I can in everything. And I think we all do. We all want to please God. Now, let's look at what else Jesus did. Hebrews 5 and 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey. See what that scripture is saying. Jesus became the author of disobedience, not disobedience, I'm saying this, T-H-I-S, of this obedience that I'm talking about. He became the author of it because what he did was he ushered in obedience into the earth realm, a perfect obedience. And it had to be a perfect obedience, a holy obedience, a pure obedience, so it can honor God, so it can please the Father, and God be glorified, and to be able to present disobedience, this, I don't want to make it sound like I'm saying disobedience. It just, we just talk so bad sometimes, it sounds like that. This, T-H-I-S, he had to usher in this obedience so he can secure the way for us. So now we can have access to this same obedience that Jesus functioned in. You see, after Jesus went to the cross, he secured obedience. It satisfied the claims of justice. God became glorified, and he became the author of eternal salvation. And guess what comes with salvation? This new obedience. See, when salvation came, I want to say new obedience, not a new obedience, but the obedience from God himself came with it to give us the ability to obey. See, now we have the ability to obey. Before, Satan was the god of our world before. Now we have the ability to obey, not just to obey, but pure and holy obedience. I want you to try to see what I'm saying. Because this new thing was ushered in through Jesus. This new thing of obedience now, I have access to God. And God has access to us. Now let's go back to the apostolic now. Now, this heaven to earth government can function the way God wanted to function for thousands of years before then. Since the fall of Adam, God said, now I have my place back and I can contact someone from heaven to earth to do my will. Before then, God didn't have this contact from heaven to earth because men's heart was rebellious and men's heart was unpure. But now God have access to a heaven to earth government. Remember the Our Father prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, as it is in heaven. Now God can make this holy connection between his heart to man's heart. But it had to go through, it had to have obedience for anything to be able to connect heaven to earth. The only thing connect heaven to earth is obedience. And it had to be fulfilled. The obedience had to be fulfilled. Now, I saw something in this scripture here. I never noticed it before. Apostle Paul said, now I'm just going here briefly. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. I'm just going here for a second. 2 Corinthians 10. Apostle Paul said something here. what verse it is now. Yeah, in verse 6. I missed this before. I never saw this in the scripture. It said, you see it yet? It's up. It said, having a readiness to revenge all what? When your obedience is fulfilled. See, obedience had to be fulfilled. And not only the seed, S-E-E-D, not only the seed of obedience had to be fulfilled, but he's saying our obedience has to be fulfilled. You got to catch that. In other words, our obedience has to be secured. Our obedience has to be set right, straight with God. Our obedience has to become holy, right, and just before and pure before God. See, a lot of times we think we're obedient, but it's not fulfilled. It's not. I'm trying to find the right word. It's not complete. It's not settled. That's the better. I'm trying to pick words. It's not settled in our heart. That, Lord, I'm going to obey you in everything. That has to be settled in our heart. That means obedience must be fulfilled. That means, Lord, I made my mind up. Whatever you say, do, I'm going to do. Whatever apostle say, do, I'm going to do. See, that's settled. I don't care. Lord, I'm putting you first. And I'm going to settle disobedience. I'm going to fulfill it in me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Because it had to be made whole. It had to be made right. Because Satan had deceived us long enough with all of his counterfeits. Everything has a counterfeit. Everything, it seemed right in the man's eyes. But God weighed the spirits. You see, so everything had to be secured if we're going to go to the level that the apostolic wants to take us.
Yes, sir.
You see, that's another level that God is bringing us.
Yes.
I want you to see this. Then we'll move on. I just got a few more points to put up. But what God is doing through the apostolic, through apostle, I'm going to put it this way. God about to speed some things up.
Yes.
Apostle knows it. And there won't be no catching up. There have to be keeping up.
Yes.
Now, I saw a movie. It was about a runaway train. Can I tell the little story?
Yes, sir.
Okay. In the movie, this guy was a conductor, the one who run the train, the engineer, or I forget what you call him. But anyway, he was back into the yard to pick up some cars. And he had about 40, 50 cars hooked up to the main engine, the locomotive. And he probably had done this many times before. You see, sometimes you can do the wrong thing and get away with it for only so long. You see? And so what he did was, after he backed up and latched on to the cars, he had to go switch the track. So go to another track to drop the cars. And so but when he throttled the locomotive, now, you got to mind me now, these big engines pulling 40, 50 cars take a lot of thrust. And when he take a lot of thrust, he had to put the throttle wide open to start the motion. It's just like pulling something heavy. You got to give it a lot of gas. Once you get it going, you know, the momentum will carry it. Are y'all following me so far?
Yes,
I'm not trying to make no locomotive train drive or nothing, but I just want you to see this. So when he did this, the train moving real slow. And so what his idea was, he gonna jump off the locomotive, go hurry up and run and throw the switch, then run and get back on his locomotive. You see what he was trying to do? And so he had a little trouble pulling the switch. You see? And so by the time he pulled the switch, the train started to pick up momentum. And boy, he saw it. So he tried to run and get to the locomotive. And it was going faster than he anticipated because it took longer than he should have to throw the switch. And now he couldn't get onto the train. Now you got a runaway train with the throttle wide open. Don't laugh too loud. If you don't, this train, this locomotive that Apostle hooking up, he got his throttle wide open. And if you don't watch it, you're going to try and jump into a moving train. And you're going to end up with a runaway train. You're trying to catch up. You got to keep up. Hey, am I making some sense here? Apostle on the move. And sometimes, I'm trying to say it nicely. And sometimes he needs to keep moving. You know why? Because God keep moving. And I'm trying to say nice things. Amen. Let's move on. Now, let's go back, because my time is almost up. Let's go back. And look at something. Listen at this. We talk about Jesus' obedience, right? The obedience of the Son. His obedience satisfied the claims of justice. Think about that. Through his obedience, now we're talking about what he did and how he obeyed God. Through his obedience, the penalty of sin was paid in full. Now, suppose he hadn't walked in his perfect obedience. The penalty of sin still would have stood, and our sin would not be paid in full, and heaven would be far away from us. It would be out of our reach. But his obedience paid for it. All those that were held captive were set free through his obedience. All the captives were set free. My goodness, I think about that. Satan was defeated and authority was reclaimed in the earth. Through his obedience. Satan was defeated and his authority was reclaimed in the earth. God's authority. Satan was defeated and God's authority was reclaimed in the earth. Now, why did I stay there a little bit? Now, authority is not authority until there's obedience. God could not establish his authority on the earth until there was obedience on the earth. You got to catch that. God could not have authority on the earth until there's obedience in the earth. God cannot do anything upon the earth unless he got somebody to obey. Unless he got somebody to yield to his authority. Unless he got somebody to carry his plans out on the earth. I'm going to say a little bit more. Righteousness was secure for every believer. My goodness, there would be no righteousness in the earth if there were no obedience in Jesus. Listen to this one now. All the promises of God was fulfilled through Jesus' obedience. If Jesus, there was no obedience, Jesus said, Lord, I come to do thy will. He come to carry out God. All the promises from Abraham on to us came to the obedience of Christ. I'm trying to think of the scripture that talks about is it Galatians 3:13 or where it talks about Abraham. I can't think of it. That the blessing of Abraham. Christ had redeemed us. Is that right? From the curse of the law? Being made a curse for us?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth upon the tree. Now, what's the next verse? Is that the blessing? That the blessing. You see, this will connect this. Because what Jesus did, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promises of the Spirit through faith. All the promises were fulfilled through his obedience.
Yes.
If there was no obedience, the blessing from Abraham on, we couldn't, even though Abraham obeyed God, but yet this obedience could not be fulfilled in his earth realm. Why I say, even though Abraham obeyed God, it still wasn't perfect. He had to go through a perfect son to have a perfect obedience. It was temporary until Jesus came. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Now, the power of death was broken, my goodness, through his obedience. My goodness, we don't have to die and go to hell when our loved one go home. We have a promise of a resurrection. All that was fulfilled through his obedience. Now, he became the author of eternal salvation. Now the way of redemption for man could be secured for the way of obedience. Or by the way of obedience. I'm going to read that again. He became the author of eternal salvation. Now the way of redemption for man could be secured by the way of obedience. You see, everything has to come. I'm trying to bring it home. Everything has to come by the way of obedience. Nothing from God is received until we go by the way or through the way of obedience. You can't get no healing unless you obey God. Prosperity won't work unless that's obedience involved. James said, don't be only hearers of the word, but be what? You see, that's obedience right there. You got to do the word. And to do the word, you got to obey the word. Now, I'm just throwing these things out here so we can see. Without obedience, God cannot get his will done upon the earth. Now let's look at Isaiah 1:19-20, because Isaiah 1:19-20 gonna reveal us to us. When I say us, all of us, gonna be revealed. It says, if ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Now, what the other slice of that pie? But if ye refuse, 20 verse, But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, listen at this. If obedience is the key that unlocks all of heaven's provision, then disobedience must lock up heaven. I'm going to read that again. If obedience is the key that unlocks all of heaven's provision, then disobedience must lock up heaven. Now, according to the scripture, heaven is locked. Why? Because I got another statement I'm going to read that's going to make this better here. Listen to this. This is kind of like the part B of what I just read. God cannot move. Let me read the first one, then we'll hook the second one. Then you're going to make a little better sense. If obedience is the key that unlocks all of heaven's provision, think about it, all that God has for us. If obedience unlocks it, then disobedience must lock up heaven. Now listen at this next statement. God cannot move within the earth's realm, and his hands are tied while he sits on his throne and watches children suffer. Without obedience. You see, God cannot move in heaven until there's some obedience on the earth. And unless there's obedience on the earth, God said, I can't do nothing. Because I need obedience to come first. And God is not unjust, but God cannot go against his word. You see? So God said, I need you to obey. And then when you obey, it unlocks heaven. You think God has a rule book that just sit back and watch all the time when people obey, disobey? Think God try to keep up with all that? No, he has everything already in effect. His word already set the standard, and the word judges everything. God don't have to keep tally. His word judges everything. By principles and precept, it judges everything. It's like, I don't want to say God got it running automatic, but God is already into effect. And we can't change it. Because God said it. If God said it, we can't change it. It can't be altered. It can't be adjusted. It can't be compromised. See, you can't compromise with God. But God is a just God. And he has simplified for us. You be willing and obedient. Oh, God wants a little willingness. And you just say, yeah, Lord. That's so easy. That's easy as pie. Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. You know, I was studying along this line, and sometimes you can put things to the test spiritually, you know, because God talks with us all the time. I'm riding my bicycle yesterday or today. Well, whatever day it was, I'm riding my bicycle, and I'm up to the head of my street. And I heard the Spirit of God. See, God talked to all the time. I usually make the left. I usually go left first. It was just like habits, you know. Sometimes you got to get out of your habit. You listen to me? To obey God. It was my habit to go left. I go left, and I always go down the other end of the street. I drive the sidewalk. But this time I heard the Lord say, go right. And boy, I kind of puzzled me a little bit. Why I got to go right? And so, but I end up going right. And then I end up going down another street that I don't normally go down. I went down the street, and one of my old cousins was sitting on the porch. He's a cousin. drink beer at 8 o'clock in the morning, cousin. But nevertheless, the Lord wanted me to stop. I thought I was to talk to him, you know. He's Christian, you know. I don't know how to say that, but they go to church. And they sing in the choir. I don't want to call his name, but I'm almost there. But nevertheless, and my time is almost up, I sit on the porch with him, and we just make small talk. We talk gardening and stuff like that. And I'm trying to wait for an opening to see what the Lord wants to say. But this utility man comes in his truck. You know, the meter reader. He's reading the meter. And so he reading the meter, and I said, he came over and he wanted to make a conversation. And I let him talk. I said, sir, you born again. He looked puzzled. They put that puzzled look on their face. Said, what are you talking about? I said, have you ever prayed the sinner's prayer? You ever invited Jesus into your heart? He said, no, he was honest. No, I haven't. I said, pray this prayer with me. Got him born again. And I knew why I went to my smoking, drinking cousin. 8 o'clock in the morning. But had I not obeyed, got out of my regular routine, went right and to the left, God was trying to accomplish something in the earth realm. And he needed obedience to do that. God needs our obedience. It don't just happen by accident. But you have to be willing to obey. I didn't argue with God. I said, Lord, I always go left. No, but I went right. How many other things God tried to get to us so we can do his will upon the earth? How many times have we missed God by our own will, own desire, because we're on this little time schedule and we're trying to do our own thing. But yet we say, I obey God. I do whatever God tell me. But sometimes we miss it. I don't think it's intentionally. Because intentionally, we want to please God. Yes, I think this old habits need to be broken. Yes. Old yokes need to be broken. So God can get down to this obedience and we can yield to God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. I'm almost done. And look. Now, listen at this. This scripture here is in Hebrews 5 and 9 now. 5 and 7. 5 and 7. We read the 8 and 9 verse, and I want to see this. I kind of flipped the scripture just for our understanding. It says the 7th verse, Hebrews 5 and 7 says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard and that he feared. Now, the point for going this now is that Jesus had to struggle with his flesh in the Garden of Gethsemane. So sometimes it's not your spirit don't want to obey. Your spirit is always, because you're born again, your spirit always open and want to yield to God. But it's that flesh. Jesus struggled with his flesh. Nobody wants to die. No, he didn't want to die. But you know what he did? He went back into his spirit. And he made this statement in the 26th chapter of Matthew, Lord, not my will, but what? Thy will be done. And that's what we got to say when God trying to get us to obey. Even when our flesh and everything and our soul crying, making all kind of outward noise, saying we don't obey God. He said, Lord, but not nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus paid an awesome price for this obedience that he secured for us. And I want to be able to glorify God in my action. I want to be pleasing to God. Don't you? I want to obey not something. I want to obey God in everything, even when it's hard. That's when God gets the most glory. Even when it's hard to obey. Even when it's not convenient to obey. Now, I've had a lot of instances where it wasn't convenient and it didn't feel good. But nevertheless, I knew it was right. And I knew it was holy. And the main thing, I know God was trying to get something into the earth realm.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to go back to the Ephesians 4:16. Then we'll close. Well, I don't even have time to go. Well, we talk about until the whole body jointly fit together and make increase of the body. Yes. And that's what God's desire for us is. Well, you've been good listeners. And I pray, God, that I say something to help us. So, Father, we thank you so much for your word.